But we're in week three of this series called Dumb Things Smart Christians Believe. And we're trying to have some fun with some pretty serious topics. And so 3 weeks ago, we talked about the idea that God helps those who help themselves. And how many people actually believe that God helps those who help themselves is from the Bible? And it's not, in fact. In fact, God actually helps those who deny themselves. God helps those who help others. God helps those who cannot help themselves. 2 weeks ago, we talked about this idea that, well, God wants me to be happy. You know, God wants me to be happy. And how often that is a sanctified excuse for selfishness because it precedes so many poor decisions. Well, God wants me to be happy, so I'm going to do this. Or God wants me to be happy, so I'm going to buy that. Or God wants me to be happy, so I'm going to quit this or do that or be irresponsible. Oftentimes, it's a sanctified excuse for selfishness. Instead, I argue the biblical view that God wants me to be holy. When I seek to be holy, as I become more Christ-like, I will be more content. I will be more happy. Yes, God wants us to be happy, but not more important than being holy. So this week, we're going to tackle this idea that everything happens for a reason. How many of you heard that before? Everything happens for a reason. How many of you have said that before? Everything happens for a reason. I know most of us have, myself included, but honestly, it's not a biblical statement either. I want to propose a better biblical statement today that I'm going to argue today, and that idea is this: anything that happens can lead to redemption. Instead of everything happens for a reason, anything that happens can lead to redemption. It's very important for us to understand that as we live out our faith in Christ every single day. Have you ever noticed how some people, sometimes with the most sensitive of intentions, say the most insensitive of things? Anybody? Maybe you've struggled with your weight all your life, and it's just a battle for you, and you've worked on that, but you know, somewhere along the way, someone has come up next to you and has said, hey, you know, if you would eat a little less and exercise a little more, you know, it would help with that. And you're like, oh, really? Gee, thank you. Sometimes people with the most sensitive of intentions can say the most insensitive of things. Or maybe you're struggling emotionally or with anxiety or some form of stress or depression or grief or regret. And someone, as you're pouring out your heart to them and sharing what's going on in your life, they kind of wrap their arm around you and say, well, you know, you just need to get over it. Move on. It'll be all right. Just move on. Get over it. Whatever it is, move past it. Oftentimes, people with the most sensitive of intentions can say the most insensitive of things. And honestly, that's the idea of this concept of, well, everything happens for a reason. Because more often than not, it's said when someone is going through a difficult time, something has happened, and they're coming alongside and saying, well, you know, it'll be okay. Everything happens for a reason. I've lost family members early due to disease, due to illness, due to tragic car accidents. Bad things have happened in our family, and I've heard that idea, that phrase, that, well, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes people with the most sensitive of intentions can say the most insensitive of things, and I know that I'm not alone in that situation. April 15th, 2013, James Costello was standing at the finish line of the Boston Marathon when the bombs exploded. And it burned him, his arms, his legs. It sent shrapnel throughout his body. The next several months, he was recovering in the hospital. He went through surgery after surgery. But during that time, he actually met and then fell in love with one of the nurses attending to him. And they actually got engaged. And James shared the news on Facebook. He shared a picture of that event. And he said this, and I quote, "Now I know why all this happened. It was for me to find the love of my life." As you might imagine, a number of the other victims and people associated with that day were very angered by that, by his well-intentioned but insensitive statement. Now, on a very lighter note, I Googled the phrase, everything happens for a reason, a few weeks ago working on this message, because I did so prior to our time in Mexico, which we got back at 8:15 last night. It was uneventful, but it's just the way it was. So I Googled this idea, everything happens for a reason. I came across a few memes that I found kind of humorous. I hope you do as well. So here's the first one. When you say everything happens for a reason, don't be surprised when I slap you in the face. It happened for a reason. When one door closes, stay inside and take a nap. Everything happens for a reason. Here's another one. Everything happens for a reason, but sometimes the reason is that you're stupid and make bad decisions. That's pretty true for many of us, isn't it? And then how about this one? Everything happens for a reason, said only by people whose situations worked out in their favor. Amen? The fact is, many Christians believe this idea, that everything happens for a reason. So many will say that everything happens for a reason all the time. And why do they say that? I mean, it might just be that they say everything happens for a reason in a difficult moment because they don't know what else to say. They meant well. Other times, people say everything happens for a reason because honestly, they genuinely believe that everything literally does happen for a reason, that God predestined it, that He preplanned it, that He organized it to be that way from the beginning of the world for some good purpose. Everything happens for a reason, Seth. But what does the Bible say about it? Does the Bible communicate the same idea that everything happens for a reason? What does the Bible really say? The fact is, there's nowhere in Scripture that you will find the phrase, everything happens for a reason. There are a few verses that kind of come close with the concept. One of them I want to just mention right now. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says this, "For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven." But I don't think that quite means the same thing. In fact, nowhere in Scripture will you find the phrase, everything happens for a reason, but is it true? I mean, there are many things that are true that we wouldn't find in the Bible, but is it true? Does everything really happen for a reason? Well, if you're talking about cause and effect, then yes, everything happens for a reason. How many of you remember the tsunami that struck Indonesia in 2004? Anybody? 230,000 people lost their lives in 14 different countries that day. It was the worst, most catastrophic natural disaster, one of them in human history. And people would say, well, did that tsunami happen for a reason? Many people would say, well, everything happens for a reason, so the tsunami happened for a reason. I would agree. The tsunami happened for a reason. Earlier that day, we had the third largest recorded earthquake in human history take place at the bottom of the Indian Ocean. And you might say, well, okay, well, did the earthquake happen for a reason? Sure, there was a reason. I want to explain it to you as best I can. The tectonic Indian plate was subducted by the tectonic Burma plate. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, that's okay, but you get the point. And I bet somehow that happened due to some form of global warming somewhere. But due to cause and effect, everything happens for a reason. You get the point. The universal law of causality says this: for every effect, there is a definite cause. Likewise, for every cause, there is a definite effect. The universal law of physics, incidentally, is really one of the reasons I believe in God. The universal law of physics, that for every cause, there is an effect. For every effect, there is a cause. This idea that the universe we live in, everything I see, everything I hear, everything I touch, everything I can sense, everything that we experience was caused by something within our universe. There's always a cause to the effect. And somehow, some way, some people still believe that something came into existence without a cause. Our universe that we live in, somehow it came into existence without a cause. I believe that cause was God. And this didn't just happen by random. God designed this earth. He created this world. How in the world could things happen, or could something be designed such as our universe and not created by something outside of our universe? Everything happens for a reason, in the idea that there is cause and effect. I believe there's a reason that I lost family members early due to illness. Something was wrong in their body, or something they lived through, something harmful, something happened that was wrong that took them off this earth early. Tragic accidents have happened in our family, extended family, and friends. And I believe there were factors that took place that led to those events. But the bigger question, which really we're kind of now getting to, is this: did God mean for that to happen? Did God will that to happen? Did God cause that to happen? Did God predestine that to happen? Did God cause both my grandfathers to lose their battle with health at an early age? Did God cause the friend of mine at a young age to die in a car accident when his brother was driving? Did God cause my wife's grandfather to die in a traffic accident driving a farm truck one random day? Did God cause these things to happen? Do I believe that God caused the difficulty that my family and yours has gone through? Well, to answer that question, I want to go to Acts chapter 17. And I know that we just wrapped up a long series through Acts, but as I was looking at this topic, this was the most relevant, in my opinion. Acts chapter 17, verses 24 and following. We're going to go through about four or five verses here, starting in verse 24. Paul says this: "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man." Now, these verses that we're going to look at come in the middle of a sermon that Paul is giving to these philosophers, these educators in Athens, this deep thinking place of the day. And the first point that Paul is trying to make is this: God is the cause of everything. God is the cause of everything. I mean, we're talking about cause and effect. God is the cause of every effect, everything. This universe is not random. God created this universe and everything in it. God is the cause of everything. The universe is created by God. Verse 25, he continues, "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." So Paul takes his description of God just a bit further. Not only is God the source of the universe, the creator of the universe, the cause of everything, but God is also the cause of life itself. God is the source of life. Not only did he cause the universe to exist, but he created it in such a way that it could and would produce and sustain life. Why do we have life and breath and everything else? Because of God. Verse 26, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." God is in control. Not only did he cause the universe to exist and give us life and the source of life, but God is sovereign over every civilization and situation. God is sovereign over everything. But what does that mean? What does it mean that God is sovereign over all? What does the word sovereign mean? Well, the word sovereign means powerful, superior, greatest, supreme in power and authority, ruler, independent of all others. You can apply it to a king. You can apply it to a queen. But when applied to God, the word sovereign takes on even more meaning. As King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God has no limitations. That's the idea. He is God, the great I Am. There are five kind of biblical claims about the sovereignty of God that I want to point out this morning. The first one is this: God is above all things and before all things. Revelation talks about him being the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, before all things and above all things. Number two, God created all things. He holds all things together. This idea that in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, the visible, the invisible. Third, God knows all things, past, present, future. There is no bottom to the depth of his understanding, no limit to the height of his understanding. He understands all. He knows all, past, present, future. Number four, God can do all things and accomplish all things. Jeremiah the prophet talks about him: "Nothing is too hard for you, God." The fifth one is the one, though, that I want to focus on for purposes this morning. God is in control of all things. He rules over all things. His kingdom rules over all. God is in control. He is sovereign over all things. That's what the will of God is all about. The will of God is God's control. Now, I just have to tell you, I believe that there's nothing outside of God's control. I believe there's nothing outside of God's will. That God knows all things, that he can do all things. He is in control of all things. That the tsunami in Indonesia, that what happened with my family members and friends, that what has happened in your life, that nothing is outside the control of God. But just because something is not outside of God's control doesn't mean that he caused it to happen. And there's something we have to understand there. Just because it's within his control doesn't mean that he predestined it or predesigned it or predetermined it to happen. Theologically, there are two parts to God's will. First of all, that God he has a prescriptive will. Second of all, that there's a permissive will. What do I mean by that? Well, his prescriptive will are things that God, he intended to happen. God made happen. God purposed them to happen. God destined them to happen. Well, what do you mean? Well, look in the Old Testament. You have God choosing the Israelite people to be his chosen people. God using Pharaoh, it says, to go about his purpose for getting his people out of Egypt. It's talked about in Romans. You can even go to the New Testament, to Jesus Christ. The crucifixion, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is talked about, that it was predestined from the foundations of the world. There are many things that God designs to happen. Many things that God prescribes to happen. But then there are also things that God permits to happen. His permissive will. These are things that are related to, well, my decisions and the decisions of others and the natural world that we live in when we talk about catastrophe and stuff like that. And so you could categorize things like crime and natural disasters and those sorts of things in God's permissive will. He allows them to happen. So yes, God is in control. He is sovereign over every civilization, every situation, but you might then ask, why does God allow that to happen? Why does God prescribe some things to happen? Why does he permit some things to happen? Why does God allow these things to happen? Well, Paul continues, verse 27, that they should seek God, perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he's actually not far from each one of us. So why did God create a world of free will? A world where good, great, awesome, bad, horrific, evil things happen? So that we would reach out to him. So that we would seek him. So that we would look for him and find him. That's why God designed a world this way. Here's my main point of the message, friends. God's goal in every situation is redemption. God's goal in any and every situation is redemption. You know, we talk about sin quite a bit, but I also talk about redemption. I don't know how many conversations I've had with many of you, and I talk about redemption. Redemption is always the best. Reconciliation is always the best option. God's goal in any and every situation is redemption. That's his purpose. That's his goal. God doesn't cause all the things that happen to happen. He allows many things to happen, but anything that happens, God can bring redemption. He can make something good come from it for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Yes, you're familiar with that verse. Friends, listen up. The greatest good that can ever happen in your life is a real connection with God. That's the greatest good, not health and wealth, not comfort and ease, not a great job or all the things that that can bring, or not, you know, all the different things that we enjoy in life, but the greatest good that can happen in your life is a real connection with God. Now, I believe that God could, in an instant, get rid of all evil in the world. I mean, the snap of his fingers, at a breath, at a word, he could eradicate every evil thing from this earth. All the bad, everything to go away. And we might ask the question, why doesn't he? I mean, world peace, right? God chooses to show grace and mercy to us who are failed and flawed. And that qualitative statement, I'm pretty sure, includes all of us. I'm glad that God in an instant doesn't get rid of every evil thing, because you and I would be in a world of hurt. Because the last I checked, we all have a little, probably a lot, of evil in us. And God, rather than rid the world of evil, chooses in his abundance of grace to bring about redemption of his people. To redeem us from whatever we're living in, from whatever difficulty, from whatever sin, he chooses to find a way to redeem us. Friends, everything doesn't happen for a reason in this type of idea. But anything that happens can bring about redemption. So what are we going to do with this? Well, first of all, we're going to stop saying everything happens for a reason, okay? In fact, when you hear that phrase, if you have the relationship with the person who's saying it, I'd encourage you to maybe in private just you know, encourage them in a very sensitive way, of course. You know, everything doesn't necessarily happen for a reason. It's the world that we live in. But anything that does happen, God can bring about redemption. Second, and this is why we're doing this series, it's really not to offend anyone. I know many of you have probably said these things hundreds of times. The point is to allow God's values from His Word to change who we are and our understanding of who He is. And what His Word says, the truth from His Word. So I want to encourage you, over the next few weeks, continue to be open to teaching from God's Word. And today, in fact, that not everything happens for a reason, but anything that happens can bring about redemption. Third, and here's the takeaway for today, is I want to challenge you, if you haven't already, to memorize Romans 8:28. Memorize Romans 8:28. Some of you already know it, but when you're going through a difficult situation in life, maybe you can stop and pause and meditate and think on this verse and be reminded of this promise to you from God. Here's what it says. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. We like to throw that verse out a lot. Remember, all things work together for good. For those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. If we love God, if we're doing our best to live according to His purpose, that ought to be an encouraging promise to us. One of the many difficult seasons in my life was when I was a youngster in grade school. I know you probably find this difficult to believe, but I was not 6'2". I was just a wee little guy, and I was kind of a nerd. I was very shy around the ladies, and I got made fun of and picked on and bullied a lot. I really did. And so I just, you know, it was a growing up time for me. I'd go home and talk to my parents. They'd give me great counsel, you know, just laugh with them, walk away, kill them with kindness, all those kinds of things. It was good counsel. But this is not politically correct, but looking back on that time, do you know what I think it really did? I think it toughened me up a little bit, gave me thick skin. Now, do not mishear me. Bullying is wrong. I had to tell Joey a month ago, stop bullying me, Joey. Stop it. I'm just kidding. It's wrong. If you're involved in that, stop it. If you're being bullied by someone, talk to someone. Get some help. But as I look back on that, I think God was able to use a difficult season in my life for good. I think it's made me a better pastor, able to empathize with people a little better, able to endure things a little better. As we would say in Spanish, aguantar. We can, and I got all kinds of Spanish words fresh on my mind from a week there. But you can overcome. You can endure. You can be persistent. You can persevere. I don't know if you're aware of this, but vocational ministry is one of the highest burnout careers in America. Leading a church, believe it or not, can be incredibly frustrating at times. And I know that God has been able to use difficult seasons of my life for good. Not everything happens for a reason, but anything that happens can bring about redemption. Perhaps there's something in your life that, if you look at it that way, of God, what can I learn from this? How can I be a better Christian because of this? How can I be redeemed better to another person or to you, God, because of this? What other people might have intended for harm, God can bring about good and redemption. Think of the cross for a moment. What the Romans intended for good, what the high priest and what those people intended, for bad, what they intended for bad, God was able to bring about good. In a moment of evil and ugliness on the cross, God was able to bring about redemption for billions of people over thousands of years. Not everything happens for a reason, but anything that happens can bring about redemption. Let's pray together.